Disney have been seriously distracted from doing what we do best. Which was to say movies like Pretty Woman, the kind of modest, story-driven movie we tended to make in our salad days. Eisner could hardly miss the similarity to the situation at Paramount that had prompted his own memo. The costly failure of Reds, another Warren Beatty epic, and the huge success of Raiders of the Lost Ark, which masked a series of other failed movies. Then Katzenberg took a parting slap at Beatty. When Warren Beatty comes to us to pitch his next movie, a big period action film costing $40 million with huge talent participation, an obvious reference to Beatty's upcoming film, Bugsy, we must hear what they have to say, allow ourselves to get very excited over what will likely be a spectacular film event, then slap ourselves a few times, throw cold water on our faces, and soberly conclude that it's not a project we should choose to get involved in. Dick Tracy, Katzenberg concluded, was also about losing control of our own destiny, and that's too high a price to pay for any movie. Nor did Eisner like the fact that Katzenberg singled out Steve Martin, Bill Murray, Dustin Hoffman, and Sylvester Stallone, all of whom Disney had negotiated with, as examples of the celebrity surcharge that was driving up the cost of movies. While free with his criticism of past films, Katzenberg exempted the studio's current projects, citing Scenes from a Mall, Billy Bathgate, and What About Bob, starring Bill Murray in a package negotiated by Ovitz, as outstanding projects, while conceding there are too many of them. And he specifically hailed the $35 million The Rocketeer as the kind of event film we must continue to make. Eisner began jotting down comments. Where Katzenberg called for films that were affirmative and uplifting, Eisner wrote, "It would be fun for us to do a tragedy once a year or once every other year, even if it is a single or a double." And later, he found it necessary to remind Katzenberg that profit isn't everything. Even if once in a while we would be successful with low-life action junk, so what? We do not need that success, he wrote. By the end, when Katzenberg makes an innocuous observation that the theater is something special, the products we strive to put into them should be equally special, Eisner can barely contain himself. This sends the wrong and expensive signal and is contrary to everything you have said so far, he scrawled in the margin. Katzenberg concluded with a passage that struck Eisner as unmitigated self-promotion. Passion is the only word that can explain why one would choose to burrow through 10 to 15 scripts every weekend on the chance of uncovering something great. Passion is the only word that can explain why one would spend a 60-hour week at a studio and then, for fun, on the weekend, go see 3 movies. So let's go back to the drawing board and get back to basics. And as we do, let's not be afraid to admit to others and ourselves, up front and with passion, that we love what we do. Eisner evidently felt a mix of emotions. At the bottom of the page he wrote, "As I finished this paper, I really felt good that we are more than basically on the same wavelength. I could have written, not as well, though, this paper." We agree. Eisner stopped Dan Wolf in the hall and told him he thought the memo was great. However sincere at the time, the good feelings didn't last long. Eisner was soon feeling a mix of resentment, suspicion, and anger. Katzenberg's memo was in some ways so similar to his own memo at Paramount that it bordered on plagiarism, as